your promotion. We like to think that we're just going to get a promotion and just walk on in there, just walk into the sunshine. Amen? But you don't just walk into the sunshine. Sometimes you got to go through prison to get that promotion. Amen? And it's not easy. Amen? One of the things about the law of the Lord is that he don't authorize us to make any prisons among his people. Amen? There's no prison that pastor can put you in. He doesn't tell pastor, well, pastor, you're the pastor, so you make prisons for your people. There's no prisons that God wants me to put you in. When the people of Israel committed crimes, they went to prison. Their punishment, and it was swift and it was sure. There is no punishment for pastor to give. That's swift and sure. I'm not the Lord. Amen? So if something happened, don't say the pastor authorized that to happen to me, because I don't do that. And he has not given me authorization to do that. Amen? But throughout history, kings and other rulers have built prisons to contain their enemies and lawbreakers. And this is true today. Amen? There's so many prisons being built to house lawbreakers and criminals. It's a money-making business. Amen? You know it's a money-making business. These people who own prisons, because the government don't own them. The private sector own them. People like me and you that got money own these prisons. So as many people that can get to those prisons, it's more advantageous to them. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to maintain one person in prison. I venture to say that if they took that money and they did something else with it to educate, to get people out of poverty, maybe even to give them a fighting chance, start them off with a business, that we wouldn't have so many people in prison. Amen? But prison is a benefit for those that have money. Now, even though God did not order his people to build any prisons, he did allow his people to go to prison. Amen? Now, they didn't go to prison by choice. Some of his people even died in prison. Amen? But see, sometimes God puts you in prison in order to get you to where he wants to get you to. Amen? These people went to prisons, and it wasn't because they were really criminals. He wanted to teach them some lessons they could not learn anywhere else. Amen? You could go to prison, and you could be very innocent. But my God, by the time you get out of there, there's some lessons that you learn that you ain't going to learn nowhere else. Come on, somebody talk to me. Now, I'm not talking to people that have been in prison, but you know people who've been in prison. And when they come out, they're a little bit more slicker than when they went in, because they done learned some things, amen? They didn't have nothing but time to sit down and absorb some things, amen? So when God puts a person or one of his people in prison, he's getting them ready. He's teaching them some things that they need to learn, amen? So with that in mind, let's take a look at Joseph and his prison experience. Amen? The scripture is Genesis 39, 20 to 22, and 41 to 14, and 14. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. And then I get to verse 41 that says, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before the Pharaoh. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading to his word. So why was he in prison? Joseph in Israel, if you did a crime, you could have been executed. No ands, ifs, or buts. stoned to death, hung, crucified. But Joseph was not executed, amen? Joseph was put there because Potiphar wanted to punish him. But in reality, God wanted to promote him. I want you to know this morning that sometimes people think that they're doing something negative to you, but God is allowing it to happen because he wants to do something greater for you. The Bible quotes that what the enemy meant for your bad, God turns it around for your good. Amen? You see, God used that as a time of confinement and refinement in the life of Joseph. God prepared Joseph for leadership by sending him to the lockup. Some of us are in prisons, and God has put you in the lockup because he wants to do something to you and through you. Amen? God will often lead us in a path and a time when we are shut off, when we are shut down, shut away, and shut up. I said, and shut up. That's one of the things that we don't like. You could shut me out, you could shut me down, but don't shut me up. But he can put you in a place where he will shut you up. Amen? God was preparing Joseph. He had a plan to promote him to a greater level of service. But that path that we go through will often lead to some prison experience or the other. God's path for us will always show us a way that we didn't expect. It is in these prison experiences of life that God prepares us for greater service and responsibility. I venture to say, when you don't have no money, you value it a little bit more when you get some. When you don't have no money and you ask your family members or your friends, sometimes even your spouse, for money, and they don't give you nothing, you start to reevaluate what you're going, the responsibility that you have with your money when you get it. There's people that are paid on Friday and broke on Thursday. You broke the day before you get paid. And you do the same thing week after week. I'm not going to do that this week. But you end up doing the same thing. Because money is a mood changer. You ever get a lot of money in your hand, you start feeling really good. You start feeling like you're on top of the world. That you are almost Christ-like. Come on now. It could be $100 and you walk into the bar, or you used to walk into the bar, and you the man. And everybody's telling you how good you look, how what a nice guy you are, and they keep setting them drinks up. And you keep throwing that 20 there till you ain't got no more. And when you ain't got no more, they ain't around you no more. I have to say it because I know it from experience. Amen? But what we need to understand about these prisons that God allows us to get to is there's problems in prison. Amen? Prison is not a pleasant place. It's a place of problems. So when you're in these prisons that the Lord might allow you to get in, there's problems going on. You don't go to prison and everything is hunky-dory. Because if you did that, and if it was that way, then everybody wouldn't mind going to prison. Amen? But prison is meant to be a place of punishment. Amen? Prison is a painful place. And when Joseph went to prison, I just read the scripture from Genesis. And you don't hear nothing about pain and torture or tension. You hear none of that. But when you turn and go to another verse that referenced that, when you turn to Genesis 40 and 30, it says Joseph was bound in this prison. It says, and when And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. You see, in the other scripture, it doesn't say that he was bound. All of these people who go to prison and they come out and act like it's okay, they're not giving you the real deal. Amen? But when you're in there, you're bound, you're miserable, there's pain, there's suffering. In your personal prisons, there's pain and suffering. I'm going to go on and say that sometimes God does not put you in prison. You put yourself in prison. Psalms 105, 17 to 18 gives even more detail. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. So I looked up the word fetters, and what are fetters? It's shackles, it's chains, it's manacles, it's restraints, it's irons. When we consider it, it becomes clear that this was a painful time in Joseph's life. We want to get to the point where Joseph became the second in command of all of Egypt. Oh, because his brother sold him into slavery. But what happened in the process of getting there? He was in a prison. And when he was in that prison, there was pain going on there. You're not where you're going to be. But in the process of getting there, you might be in a prison and there's pain that you're going to endure while you're on your path there. It's never easy when the Lord allows you to experience prison in your life. God never promises children that serving him would be painless. Amen? So when we go through pain, it doesn't mean that God has forgot about us. It is part of the process. Some of God's most choice servants have gone through this process. Look at Job. We all know Job went through some stuff. But there was a scripture that I looked at, and I want to read it to you. You see, because nothing hurts so hard as it is when the person that's next to you, your husband or your wife, said something to you. It can penetrate like a knife. Your mother or your father, when they say something to you, it can penetrate like a knife. Those people that love you, that you grew up with, that you have known for all of these years, who have shown you love, when they turn against you or they say something to you, it hurts so bad because they know you. They know how to hurt you. Amen? Listen to this. Then said his wife unto him, do thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? In all of this, Job still did not sin. Those are fighting words. Your wife tell you something like that, those are fighting words. Your husband tell you something like that, those are fighting words. Somebody close to you say something like that, call you stupid, and you might as well die. Oh, that's when the fight starts. That's when the cursing began. But Job did nothing. He just said, you're crazy, and moved on. You see, when we go through these prisons and these pains, and the people on the outside are looking at us, knowing that we're feeling this pain, knowing that we're going through something, and they're telling us to do something that is against the wishes of God, we got to be able to stand strong and tell them, you're crazy. God is going to give me good all the time. And when something negative happened, am I going to run from God? I think we need to ask ourselves that question this morning. You want all the good from God, but when negative things or evil things happen, which is not from God, you run from God. But if you run from God, who are you running to? It's either God or him with the little H. When you run from God, where are you running to? Job said that you're crazy. Paul went through some pain, and he put his pain this way. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Savior to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, Paul had this thorn in his side, and he said three times to the Lord, can you get rid of this thing for me? But then he realized that if the Lord got rid of this thing, I might just be about perfect. This is his own thinking, that I might just be about perfect. So I need to just sit here and endure what the Lord has affected me with so I don't forget that the glory is his and not mine. There are things that go on in your life to remind you that the glory is all his and not yours. Because we can get all besides ourselves many a times. Amen? We can get all high and mighty. You know, sometimes when we get all high and mighty, we forget the goodness of the Lord. We think that we've done it ourselves. As a matter of fact, we believe that we have arrived. And we want everybody to know that we have arrived. David was hated and hounded by Saul without a reason. And I want to tell you that when God wants to use somebody greatly, he hurts them deeply. When he wants to do great things in your life, there's going to be a lot of pain in your life. The pain, see, the enemy is inflicting pain because he knows the great things that God has in store for you. So when you think about the stuff that you're going through, just give God the glory because you are an overcomer in Christ. We're not the first ones to have this effect, this be affected by these afflictions. And I want you to know that you won't be the last. We are never told that Joseph questioned any things in his life. He must have wondered, why did my brothers do this to me? His brothers did it to him because they hated him. Because he told them of his dream. He told them that he would be a ruler. They would bow down to him. I don't know about your siblings, but it ain't a good thing, it ain't a cute thing when you tell them that you're going to bow down to me one day. Those are fighting words again. I'm not going to tell you to turn to the person next to you on the other side to you and say you're going to bow down to me because you're going to, I'm not starting no fights in here today. Amen? But you imagine the audacity of somebody turning to you and saying, you're going to bow down to me. That's what he told his brothers, and that's why his brothers hated him. Amen? But while he was a slave in Egypt, he must have wondered why he was a slave. He was a slave. He must have wondered why he was being punished for doing the right thing. But he never spoke it, but he thought it. There's so many times we don't speak it, but we think it. And the Bible says a man is what he thinks. One of the problems of this prison that can be so perplexing in nature is you try to do the best in life, and you try to live your life for the Lord, and trouble still comes your way. Amen? Sometimes I hear people say, you know, I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to do my best for the Lord. Keep doing your best for the Lord. He's only charging you with doing the best that you can do. He already knows the threshold of where he can take you, or anybody can take you before your breaking point. Amen? Keep doing your best. Amen? Some of us are easily blown off course by the trials that we're forced to endure. You throw up your hands and say, oh, well, what's the use? Amen? That's the wrong attitude to take on this side. Because the use is not here on this side of eternity. The use is on the other side of eternity. If you're lucky, you're going to live past 100. That includes me. I'm talking to me, too. But if you're lucky, you're going to live past 100. If you're blessed, I should say, you're going to live past 100. But you're not going to live for eternity unless you're on the other side in your relationship with Christ. As a matter of fact, based on your quality of life, if you're blessed to be 100, you might not even want to be here. You might not want to be here. And then you might want to be here, and then there might be some people who take care of you who don't want you here. So you can be blessed to be 100. There's going to be some prisons. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some stuff that you're going to go through. Amen? And not just you, the people who are around you, the people who love you. Amen? Used to have a song that said, love is a hurting thing. It sure is. It's a hurting thing. It's a wonderful thing, but it's a hurting thing. There was a little boy. This is an illustration. There was a little boy. Right? He was in an accident, terrible accident. He died. Parents crying and everything. Pastor came over to see them, to pray with them. You know, when something like that happens, we get aggravated, we get upset, we start looking at God, saying, God, why you allow these things happen to us? So the wife, the mother looked at the pastor and said, where was God when this thing happened? Pastor turned around and said, he's the same place he always is. He hasn't moved. He was right there. He was right there. I say that to say, whenever you go through something negative, big, small, or whatever, you don't have to ask where God is. He's right there. He's right there. What you need to do is seek him. So he might be found while you're going through whatever that situation is. Because you think it's unbearable, but he says you are overcomer through Christ. Amen? We cannot take that attitude, because you see, the prisons of life are disturbing. They're distracting. They were Christian people, but their whole life of being a Christian was upset and disturbed and distracted. So much so that they questioned God. Where was God when this happened? Well, I'm told he's the Alpha and the Omega. And everything in between, he's there. In your life, he's the Alpha and the Omega. And anything in between, he's there. So the prisons that you're going through, he's there. He's right there. He's waiting for you to call on him. He's waiting for you to seek his face. He's not going anywhere. God is using our harsh times and those events to shape our lives and move us to where he wants to get us to. Amen? We must trust the Lord. You can't figure out what he's doing. Remember that he has the master plan. We got a plan, but he has the master plan. We can plan all we want. We can make him laugh. Have a plan. But he has the master plan. He has all of the plans of us in his hands. Each and every one in here right now, he has a master plan for your life. You can go with the master plan or you can go with the distractions. You can go along the detours. It'll just take you longer to get to where he wants you to get. Amen? God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways nor your ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. For all of you who complain about the rain and the snow, we need the rain and we need the snow for the seed to grow. Hallelujah. God has planted a seed inside of you. You're going to go through some storms in life. It's going to rain. It's going to snow. But the seed need that water to grow. In your life, there's things that you need that water to grow. God said that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Regardless of what life is bringing our way, we must submit to God. We must submit to his will, and we must trust him to do the right thing. You know, that's such a big word, trust. I'm about to get on a tangent now. That word, trust. We use it so lightly, like love. Oh, I love you. No, you don't. Oh, I trust you. No, you don't. Let me go. Give me the keys to your house. You're not going to do it. Let me hold your car. Depends on the car that you got. If you got a nice car, you're not going to do it. If I said, let me hold that BMW, you said, where you're going, I'll take ya. You see his face. And God wants us to trust him. Amen? He wants us to trust him. And it's not easy. Because he knows it goes against our nature, trust. So every time you turn around and you tell people that you trust them, I look at you and I really want to know, do you trust me? I will put you to the test to see how much you trust me. My wife, what'd you say? Don't pay attention to my wife. Certain things. I'm going to move on. This is a prolonged prison. We don't know how long Joseph was in prison. It must have been at least 2 years. It might have been as long as 13 years. But we know that for sure, that Joseph, from the time that he was thrown into that pit until he became the second in charge of Egypt, at least 13 years went by. Amen? For he extended some other people's sentences, amen? But we don't know. And sometimes my trial is longer than your trial. Sometimes your trial is shorter than mine, amen? God determines the time and the place. Sometimes God blesses one and don't bless another. But if you hold on to God, he's going to bless you. But he's going to determine the time, and he's going to determine the place. You know what? The blessing might not even come in your lifetime. It might come after you're dead and gone. I'm here to tell you this morning, my father's blessing is after his lifetime. He's dead and he's gone. But But God blesses for generations. He blesses for generations. He said, even those that don't see, but believe. You don't have to see it, but you got to believe it. You got to, that's trust. You don't see it, but you got to believe it. God says, you don't see me, but you got to believe me. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, raised the third day. You got to believe it, because some people have saw it. And they have bore witness in this book that God died on the cross in the form of Jesus Christ and rose the third day. We are seeing people. We are all Thomases in here. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe anything unless I see it. He rose, he says, I'm coming and go get Thomas and bring him there. God has brought somebody here today because you didn't believe. But he said, you go to church today. You go to church today, and I'm going to show you. You don't believe it, but I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to break it down to you. God may spend many years shaping your life for a short period of time in service. That's to say, somebody could be out there in the street 30, 40, 50 years. But if God gets a good 5 years of service out of them, that's what he's looking for. Amen? We can't be the judge or the jury of how God is going to use somebody. And he don't have to use anybody for long. Sometimes people come into church and that God has blessed them with some talent, blessed them with some gift, blessed them with some ability, and those that have been sitting around for years and years and years say, well, they just came in here. How can they be doing all of this? Because God has blessed them. But God doesn't use time like we use time. The basis of all of this is 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. We don't even ask anybody, where are you going to be 3 years from now? We say, where you want to be in 5 years? Where you want to be in 5 years? What are your goals? What are your plans? What are your aspirations? 3 years. A long time, hundreds of years, centuries in the making, in the preparation, in the prison. Man was in the prison, in the preparation, in the making for 3 years for prophecy to come. You see, those people in the Old Testament, they didn't see what we saw. They didn't know what we knew. But they knew, they prophesied that he was coming. They prophesied about a Messiah. They prophesied about this unique birth that nobody can really explain. They prophesied about healing and raising people from the dead. They prophesied about him being in the belly of the whale like Jonah for 3 days. He prophesied about that. And he was here 3 years. And he shook the world. He turned it upside down. And he's still doing it today. He's still doing it today. Hallelujah. This is a statement that Peter Marshall said. It is a fact of Christian experience that life is a series of ups and downs. Amen? And efforts to get in his efforts to get permanent possession of the soul, God relied on the downs more than the peaks. And some of his special favorites have gone through longer and deeper valleys than anyone else. Some of us always want to be famous. You know what you have to be famous to get into this book? To be one of the favorites in this book. You know what these people had to go through? Oh, my Lord. He just said, God uses more valleys than peaks. We're looking for the peaks. We're not looking for the valleys. But there's going to be valleys. But in the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff. But even while we're in prison, while we're in this place of problems, it is also filled with God's provisions. He may send us into a prison experience, but he never sends us there alone. Without resources, we will still need to survive and thrive in the prison. So while we're in the prison, he will still provide resources for us to thrive. Not just survive, but to thrive. You see, Joseph, when he was in the prison, he didn't just become a prisoner. He became head of everything that happened in the prison. So when he was in the prison, he still had privileges. Maybe he got more food. Maybe he got more drink. Maybe he got more time off. But he had privileges above the regular prisoners. Amen? Because in Genesis 39 and 21, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. And I say, no matter what it is in the valleys that you go through, you're still going to be able to thrive. And not just survive, because the Lord is with you. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That means that no matter water, fire, whatever, God is going to be with you. When Noah was told to build the ark, God didn't say, go in the ark. He said, come to the ark. That means that he was there. You don't tell somebody while you're standing at your front door in the house, go in the house. You say, come in the house, because you're going in the house with them. In the ark, Noah was in the ark. God was there with him. No matter what experience you're going through right now, God is saying, come with me. Don't leave without me. I will be there with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We want to do things alone. We want to do it our own way. But God says, take me with you. Oh, he's bigger than American Express. They can deny you on American Express. God will never deny you. He might delay you, but he will never deny you. God, Joseph submitted to God's will in this prison experience, and God elevated him and used him for his glory. God does not send us to a prison to bury us there. Amen? He sends us there to prepare us for greater work that he has. When he allows you to suffer the time of being shut up, shut off, and shut in, it allows you to grow to the image that he has for you. We talk about being conformed in his image. I got a secret for you, and then I'm going to stop. You cannot conform yourself to the image of God. You cannot conform yourself to the image that God has for you. No, we can't do it, but he can. Because he's the potter, and we're the clay. Let us stand.